Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a fantastic show for you tonight. We're also fortunate to be able to listen to tonight's broadcast. I'm very happy about that. So, I mean, that hour goes real fast, so we're not going to prolong. I do want to get a little housekeeping out of the way just before I bring my co-host in, Ms. Camilla Claw. I want to be able to say to my listening audience tonight, you can certainly, I'm glad that everybody is safe. And, you know, there are some orders that go into effect perhaps this weekend, starting maybe as early as late tonight or tomorrow. So make sure you pay attention to the news to find out what the latest is on this COVID-19 and see how we can all safeguard ourselves. And that stay home order is not so bad because it protects all of us. And being able to go out for the essentials and provide the essentials. And while you're out, I encourage everybody to, when you run across a worker at a store, just share with them how grateful you are that they come out. And they're actually, they're like that first line of defense. They're putting themselves out there at risk because they're encountering so many other people that come through there that may have the virus themselves. And they subject themselves to that risk. And chances are, maybe it's their duty, the jobs that they do, and others because they need the employment. So if you're out there and you certainly come across a worker, even the first responders, the police, medical staff, you know, these are your real superheroes in these crises now. Just someone simply working at a supermarket or a grocery store, these are the real superheroes out there because they're putting themselves at risk with every customer that come in. So the other part is, I mean, certainly you can also go to my websites now. I have three up. That's why we're taking the Dr. Jesse Walker Show to a next level, and we're growing exponentially. And this growth is coming real fast, and I'm very grateful to God for that. You can go now to drjessewalker.com, which we have that domain again, drjessewalkerinc.com or drjwalker.com. We have now two websites, you know, drjessewalker.com. We have one there, and then I have another one at drjwalker.com. They're different, but we have some of the same things on there. You can get my weekly newsletter for just cheaper than a cup of Starbucks coffee, $2.25 a week, and I encourage you all to take a look at that. It's something that you will want to help, and proceeds, percentage of that goes to support the ministry that I do, the community ministry that I do. We're so grateful to all of you all for what you do, and check out my book, After the Passion, Now What? You can visit that on the website as well. Let me go ahead and bring in my co-host, enough about me. My co-host, Ms. Camilla Cross, she's going to go ahead and give you the commercial on herself. And I'm just so glad and grateful to have her with me each and every week. Ms. Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. How are you all tonight?
Hope
everyone's well.
Good.
Well, yeah, my name is Camilla Cross. I am a certified anger management specialist, master's level social worker. Right now, I know with all of this going on, you know, it's kind of we're going through the motions on kind of how to feel. That's kind of where I am right now. So I am definitely offering my services to kind of help with the processing part of this. You know, I do anger management/stress management. You can check out my website. I'm at www.yourworthisprieceless.com. My telephone number is 954-825-8500. I'm actually doing a, I don't know if you guys are on Facebook, but I'm doing a live on Facebook. One of the nonprofit organizations asked me to kind of reach out and talk to, kind of do a live and talk to some of the people on Facebook and kind of invite some of my fan base there as well. It's through Crawl, Walk, Run. I'm going to get more information about that, but you can actually go on my Facebook business page. It's called Your Worth LLC at its finest, and you'll be able to get more information. So definitely, guys, you know, I know that we're all in this together. We're all praying, and, you know, the news, it's very scary as to what we're seeing, but we know that God doesn't want us to live in fear. So, you know, right now we just take the right precautions, but we continue to, you know, walk in faith, you know, so, and we'll be fine.
All right.
We'll be fine.
Great, great. Let me go ahead and I'm going to read the story. The phone line's already lighting up. We're going to go to our first caller tonight, 786-973. We're going to come back to them in just a second. I want her to introduce herself. Let's go to 786-973. Hello, you're live on the Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have this evening? Welcome.
Hi.
786-973.
Hello.
Okay. Hi. You're live on the air.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to introduce yourself and let you know we're going to be coming to you in about 2 minutes because I want to read the story.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you to stand by.
Okay.
What's your name, ma'am?
Cheryl.
Okay, Cheryl, thank you. Please stand by, Cheryl. All right, we're going to go to tonight's story right away, you all, because this hour goes real fast. And then, Ms. Cross, I'm going to bring you in. And, you know, we're going to be concluding tonight's story. Remember last week, the topic tonight is should we live our lives in fear of the unknown? We're going to get to some of the things that center around the unknown and probably talk about COVID-19 as one of those. But remember last week we talked about Fred and Ethel and 70 years of marriage. Fred reverted back to his old ways and happened to run into an ex-girlfriend whom he had not seen in over 12 years. This was his ex. In fact, Fred, he had an affair with her while he was still married to Ethel. And Ethel has always been a faithful wife. That's very important in this story tonight. She's always been faithful to him, never cheated on him or anything. Now, during Fred's relationship with this other woman, they had a romance that was unlike any other that either one of them had ever experienced. That was Fred and his ex-girlfriend. Now, the reason for their breakup was due to the fact that Fred had to relocate to a different state for his job. That was why they broke up. And actually, the girl didn't like that, and she felt that they could have still had a long-distance relationship. But Fred, he just abruptly just broke up with her and did her like that. He did her real bad. They ultimately drifted apart and went on with their separate lives. One day while he was visiting his home state, Fred just, you know, he ran into this other woman. And of course, she was looking as lovely as ever, which Fred could not resist complimenting her in the most romantic way. Okay, they caught up on small talk and agreed to meet for dinner the same evening because Fred, he was actually going to be in town for 3 days. So they had dinner at a favorite restaurant that they used to frequent. Okay, this was the norm. As they reminisced about their past romantic life, the evening actually grew romantic again as Fred invited the woman to his hotel just for a nightcap. And we all know what that means in some cases. Okay, well, without hesitation, she agreed because she still had these feelings for Fred. And they immediately left the restaurant. At the time near 10 o'clock, Fred here, he was going back to his old ways. He knew that his wife would be checking in by way of phone at any minute now. As such, Fred beat her to the call, so he decided to call Ethel and tell her that he was tired and going to turn in early because of a long day and conferences, which is, of course, was a lie. In fact, Fred spent the remainder of his trip with the other woman, immediately after both their work hours. Now, the other woman divorced about 6 months ago due to her discovering that her husband had cheated on her with one of his ex-lovers, whom he contracted a disease from and may have actually transferred it on to her. She didn't get tested. She's been skeptical to find out, but no, she has not been feeling well over the past several months. And she's frightened to actually go out and get a blood test. Unfortunately, the romantic gestures and actions Between Fred and the other woman were so intense. They were unprotected and enjoyable. Now the time has come for Fred to leave as they shared their final night together. Now, it wasn't until late that afternoon the other woman shared with Fred her situation about May having contracted a disease from her ex-husband. And this was, you know, when he was really on his, you know, getting ready to get board his flight. Of course, this brought about grave concern as Fred's wife shared with him that she could not wait to see him because she had planned a romantic night. So with this on Fred's mind, he now has reason to suspect or possibly believe that he could also be a carrier and is now in fear of the unknown of sharing this information with his wife that he cheated on her with the other woman who could be a carrier. Fred is devastated and scared because he really loves his wife. He really does, with all his heart, and did not realize he would run into the other woman. Now, shortly, I'm going to bring the conclusion to this story. But first, let me just, I'm going to bring it to you real quickly here. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask you all to stand by. Ms. Cross, I got to ask you, you remember the story and everything. And what were your concluding thoughts on Fred, whether or not he should tell his wife? What did your, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thoughts was to, you know, through it all, to just be upfront and let his wife know, based on the fact that, you know, she can be at risk of a possible disease. So that was
okay. Even if
definitely,
even if
main reason.
Even if what?
No, I'm saying, what were you saying, Dr. Walker?
No, even if it stands to risk losing his wife, the marriage. Be honest,
well,
with the tell her the truth.
Yeah, the risk that happened when he slept with the other woman. That's when that process started. So that's pretty much like the outcome of the decision that made.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna ask you to stand by, Ms. Cross. Let's go to Cheryl real quick, and then I'm gonna bring the take another couple of callers, and then I'm gonna give the conclusion. This will take us about, if you can bear 90 seconds with us, we'll bring that conclusion. Cheryl, give us your thought. What are you thinking here? I think Cheryl. All right, perhaps we'll bring her back in just a moment. All right, we were trying to get back to her.
I'm here.
All right. Okay,
can
Cheryl, give us your thoughts. Yes, we can hear you now. Give us your thoughts on the conclusion.
Okay.
I mean, last week, this is part two of what we're doing tonight.
Yes. Last week, like I said, a man is going to be a man, and any way that he can get around not telling his wife what has happened is what he's going to try to do. So, I mean, even if it says he doesn't feel well, whether it be he has a cough, he has a stomach ache, he has whatever he thinks may have transpired while he was out of town that he needs to see the doctor for, you know, he's going to use that as an excuse. So,
okay.
I mean, that's just the typical way a man thinks to me.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you, to stand by. Not all men might agree, but let's just stand by just for a moment.
You're right.
As we go to the conclusion of this story. Well, you know what? I knew the story, how it would end from last week, because all of these stories are inspired by true stories, and, of course, the names are always changed to protect the innocent. I do want to say this here, that even though our characters tonight are Fred and Ethel, this is not the Fred and Ethel from the I, Lucy show that we all loved and perhaps many baby boomers grew up knowing about. This is not them. And these names are changed, and they're just random names that we've selected to give bring reference to something. All right, now, in all the opinions that I express over the air are those of my own, my co-hosts, the callers, listeners who chime in, and we're not giving professional or legal advice. If you're looking for those areas, seek the profession in those areas. The information that we present is for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Anything outside of that is not what we're endorsing. All right. Our story, unfortunately, concludes tonight with deceit and lies that Fred has been telling Ethel for the past 4 days since his return from his business trip. You know, he's been complaining, just as Cheryl, she hasn't been fully wrong. You know, he's had a headache, stomach ache, and Ethel, of course, being sharp, like all women, in my opinion, of course, suspected something was going on with him despite him constantly trying to lie. Well, Ethel was finally able to get the truth as Fred apologetically revealed to her what had transpired on his business trip. As a result of the pain and heartache, Ethel demanded that he leave the home until she could sort herself out. Fred obliged her without incident and numerous apologies in the presence of her running tears. This woman was hurting. 3 months later, during their separation, just when Ethel was about to accept him back into her life, after he gets tested, Fred actually dropped the bombshell that he had contracted a curable disease. Let's put that in there. It was a curable disease, but this time, instead of trying to accept blame, he actually turned the tables and tried to say that maybe he got the disease from Ethel. What a guy. Of course, Ethel, just before she hung up on him, called him a few choice names and told him that she was divorcing him and never wanted to see him again ever in her life. The pain and now the accusations were too much for her to deal with. And let's go back to the phone lines. And the first person we're going to go to, Ms. Cross, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. I got to bring Cheryl back in because she said something last week that stuck with me. And she said that, you know, sometimes typically men tend to turn it around and try to make it the woman's fault. Cheryl, I'm bringing you back in. You said that last week, and here it is. It just so happened. When you said that last week, I was laughing in my mind because I know how the story turns out. Why did Freya try to make it her fault? Cheryl, that question is for you.
It doesn't seem like it's his fault. It's what he wants to do.
Wow. Wow. Cheryl, you sound really experienced with you sound really experienced. Have you encountered, I mean, are you just guessing at this because you weren't off? You know, he tried to turn
this
thing around.
No, I'm not guessing.
Wow.
No, I'm not guessing. There are a lot of men that lie, and they get caught in their lies. So,
and they get caught in their lies.
You know, yeah. That, I mean, that's just atypical of a man to me. Even though I would want someone to be honest with me. But
right.
It happens that way.
Right. Well, should you, let me ask you this question before
we go. I
mean,
I've had situations. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You've had situations.
I've had situations where I've had friends and I've had people I was dating that have said the man came, you know, clean and actually said what had transpired. But, you know, in my case, you know, I was like, what's going on? Like, I know you. So, you know, you got to tell me something. But in
right.
some of my friends' cases, it's like they let me sleep with them and they knew that something was going
wow.
on.
Wow.
You know?
Well, let me ask
so,
you. Let me ask you. Let me, yes, go ahead. Like, so what? I don't want to end that because the listeners want to hear it.
What I'm saying is men will take a chance.
Wow.
And let the card fall where, they, you know, whichever way it goes, they just want to see, you know, if the woman is still going to stick by him or not. I mean, you know, to be honest, a lot of men think like that, even though,
okay, so,
you know, it's unethical for a woman to even live that. It would eat us up inside. A man?
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. I've heard so many stories. It's scary.
Right. So let me ask you this here, because I know our listeners around the world want to hear this from you, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. And, of course, we respect everyone's opinions, even when we respectfully disagree. But let me ask you this. Should Ethel, and that's been 3 months, and he has a curable disease, he did tell her that. Should she try to really just, you know what, let me forgive this man. Let me love him. He's my husband. Our marriage could probably be better than ever before. What do you think, Cheryl? What would you tell her if she was a friend of yours or a relative of yours? I got to know this.
Well, I mean, I would say give him a second chance if he comes clean and tells her the entire story. If he doesn't come clean, whole story, Like if he says he just ran into someone that he met, you know, and something happened, instead of telling the whole story that, you know, he had dated this woman before and, you know, I would want the whole story and I would want my friend to know the whole story. So that's what.
Wait a minute, you want your friends to know the whole story? Why your friends got to know the whole story?
I'm saying if it was a friend of mine, I'm just, because I mean, a man needs to tell the whole story. I'm saying if someone was my friend and I was giving them advice.
Right, I got it.
I would, you know.
Right. We're going to ask you to stand by.
Everybody deserves a second chance.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Please stand by. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 205. We're going to go to Alabama, 205-908. Ms. Foss, please stand by. And we're going to go to 786-489, but let's go to Alabama first. Welcome. You're on the Dr. Jess Walk Show.
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Jack, thanks for joining us. Jack, I mean, Cheryl just dropped a bombshell on us. She said that, most men think this way. And I don't find myself thinking that way. I mean, here we have a situation.
Yeah, I respect Cheryl's comments and everything that she said because it's happened to her. So you can't tell people how to feel. They feel how they feel. And then she said a large majority of men, they behave in that manner. I just want to say that I'm not one that will behave in that manner. And I heard you say that, you know, you did all those sentiments as well, that you don't behave in that manner either. So even though she's saying that there's a large majority, we can say that there's a number of us that don't, you know, agree with what she was saying. Now, in terms of Ethel telling her husband that she doesn't want to see him anymore as a result of him saying that curable disease that he has, that he's thinking that he got it from her. Now, he knows that he's wrong. that he's wrong. I mean, for him to even make a statement like that. But I was thinking from the beginning, you know who I'm really blaming? I'm really blaming the other woman a lot because she knew she had it. You remember how Cheryl just said that sometimes people just lay with you and they know they got something wrong?
Right.
She did the exact same thing with him. She knew she had a problem and she didn't even protect herself or anything like that. So I guess that when they say misery loves company, misery really does love company and all. So I guess you feel like, well, I got it. I'm going to give it to somebody else, even though he was fleeing some time ago or years ago and all, and then she still did that. So she was dead wrong. I would have been really getting on her case. If I was Fred, I would be really getting on that night even before he left to go back home to his wife. I mean, I can't believe you're doing this to me, what you did, and then you knew that you had it, and then you still allowed yourself to go that route and all. So I would really be getting on her. But he was dead wrong after he found out. Now, she was perfectly within her rights when she told him to get out of the house because I need to get my head together. I mean, you telling me you got this? I don't know what I got. So she needed some space. She needed some space.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to come back after he found out that he didn't have it, but he had something else, maybe STD or whatever, and then he comes back and then he tells her that he could have got it from her. I mean, that's poor. I mean, that's terrible for him to come and do that, from my perspective.
That is horrible. You're right, Jack. And actually, the fact of the matter is, the other woman knew that something was wrong. She was afraid to get a blood test, but she knew she hadn't been feeling well. And then, remember now, in the early part of the story, Fred abruptly broke up with her because he had to relocate to another job. And the way that he did it, even though the other woman wanted to continue the relationship, he just abruptly did that, and they went on with their separate lives. So really when she ran into him, knowing that she might be a carrier, she did it anyway because she did this to spite him, to get him back.
Okay.
You know?
That part there I wasn't quite sure of, but she was dead wrong, I mean, from the beginning.
Yeah, she was.
Doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jack, we appreciate your comments. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Cross, I got to bring you in, and then we're going to go to South Florida again. Ms. Cross, I mean, this woman really sought out to get him back, and she did a good job of it, all the way to the point that it caused a separation of his wife. And now, just when his wife's ready to possibly give him another chance, he drops this bombshell. Ms. Cross, I don't know what else to say.
Wow, yeah, because, you know, right now I think the total victim in this is the wife, you know, because she didn't know what's going on, and then now she's kind of put in a situation that she didn't even sign up for. And, you know, because of everybody else's decision, the decision of the old friend or the woman, I don't know what to call her, but the old friend to sleep with this guy without telling him that she has something possibly, and then the husband's decision to sleep with her, and the only person who didn't do anything wrong in this situation is the wife, but she's the one, you know, having to deal with the emotional part of it and possibly, you know, knowing that she could have been infected. You know, it's just, I think, you know, with me, I have that word unfair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair. I know. We all want that happy ending, and sometimes there are those happy endings. But, you know, and we're all expressing our opinions here tonight. I think the man is just, he's the one that deserves all the blame. He's the one that deserves all the blame. You know, I mean, we can all point the finger at different people, but, you know, and I respect everybody's thoughts, but this guy, I mean, it shouldn't have mattered that he saw her. He deserves, in my opinion, all the blame. But, of course, we respect everybody's opinions. And let's go to South Florida again. Let's go to 786-489. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. Steve, how you doing?
Steve, thank you for joining us. We're doing good. Steve, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, the woman, I mean, some of us are blaming the woman, some of us are blaming the man as well, some of us are blaming both of them. You know, is Ethel the victim?
Well, I feel Ethel is the victim in that situation because, you know, I've been around a lot of men. I know what some of them will do. I'm not like that. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth and have you deal with it. I learned decades ago the truth. That way you ain't got to lie no more. You tell them and then let them deal with the truth and be done with it. But I think Ethel was the person, you know, the victim, because a lot of times, you know, when I was coming up, you had those curable diseases and that people went around knowingly they were infected and then went out and still had sex. And then you had some kind of women would have a yeast infection and maybe not know or know. Women can answer that better and then get a yeast infection. But those situations come about, and the men or whoever that do it, you know, should be shameful for doing like that. You got some women you run into, they don't, you know, they don't care either. So it goes both ways. But this particular situation, he should have known better and had more respect for the young lady and himself.
Okay, the young lady had more respect for which young lady, his wife or the other woman?
Both of them, you know, either one, you know, the one that was a victim, you know.
Oh, the wife was a victim. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Cheryl again. Then we're going to bring Jack back in. Cheryl, I just got to ask you this because this is like really troubling. This guy, I mean, you know, just a happy home. A happy home is broken up because, and I like what Ms. Claus said earlier, it's about decisions. His decision is all about decisions. You know,
It is.
But can anybody really help themselves? Can anybody really help themselves, even the women?
Yes, everyone can help themselves. And the other callers are right, you know, in saying that there are women that do the same thing. And it's true.
Right.
I mean, it was both ways.
Right.
It's just that fear, you know, that topic that we all came in saying the unknown.
Right.
It's a fear of being caught. It's a fear of, oh, my God, if I tell the truth, what will happen? Those are all the different fears that come about when you do wrong things.
Wow. That's the consequences. I like what Ms. Cross says all the time. She says you can't pick your consequences. We'll give her a chance to bring that back in. Cheryl, just stand by just for a second. Jack, let's bring you in. The fear. I guess if we did the right thing, we wouldn't have to for fear, would we? Or if we do the best we can, we wouldn't have to fear, Jack. Is that possible?
Oh, that's true, because fear is torment. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But he's given us the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. So like you just said, I mean, if we don't, if we do the right thing, then we'll have to fear, be fearful about it. But when you're doing something wrong, of course you're going to be fearful because you don't know what the outcome or what the consequences are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right, though. That's how I see it.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, Jack. So let's fast forward just for a second here with the COVID-19, the coronavirus-19. Should we really be living our lives in the fear of the unknown? You know, we're about to go into some lockdown orders, you know, that we might have to be prepared for 30 days in-house or barely going out to get the bare necessities or essentials. Should we be in fear, in your opinion, Jack? You know, that wasn't something that we brought on, right? It wasn't a decision we made, right?
Right. I think, I'm agreeing with what you're saying. I don't think we should live in fear because we kind of expected a lot of these things to happen. We didn't know exactly what, but we knew things were going to get bad. And I'm here to tell you and all your audience that it's not going to get any better. It's going to get a whole lot worse. So we should not be living in fear because, like I mentioned earlier, fear is torment. It's going to torment you to death. Right? With all that tension and all the anxiety, it can really kill you and all. Right? So if you're worried about it, that's probably when it comes on because your immune system gets weaker as you exhibit that anxiety and all of that tension coming off and all. That's how you get so caught up into what's about to happen and all. So I wouldn't worry about it. If it happens, it happens. Just pray about it.
Right.
Just pray about it, and that's it.
Right. You know, I got a text today about a Zoom, and I'm not sure if you did, about a pastor who's going to be coming on Friday night. And actually, it follows the show that I do tomorrow night. We're going to have live testimonies tomorrow night. And you know anything about that you may want to be able to present over the air? I'm not sure how it goes, but they're going to be doing some stories on prophecies and Pastor Willie, I believe it is. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah. I did hear about that they're going to have a prayer time since the times that we're living in. It's going to be prayer and testimony time. And then after that, they're going to talk about the last day events. Things that's going to happen in these last days. That's why I keep saying that God has not given us a spirit of fear because we know exactly some of the things that's going to happen because it's right there in the Bible. It tells you that certain things are going to happen. So when they happen, so why are you worried? Why are you alarmed? Because you knew it was coming. Maybe you didn't think it was going to come so soon, but sure enough, it's coming and all. And that's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And it's going to be on Zoom where people can see each other. Or they can just call in and just be on the line. But if they want to pray and they want to give a testimony about the goodness of God and all of that, and then also it's going to be talking about what's going to happen in the last days and some of these things that you see that is happening now.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a call-in number by any chance, or you want us to come back to you and maybe you
I
give your chance?
I can just tell them straight up. It's called Zoom.com, and then there's a meeting ID code that's 474-408-3826. And then once you press that, it's good to go. Let me give you that meeting ID code again, 474-408-3826. But it's just regular Zoom.com. Just go to your computer or your cell phone, put in an app, and just hit Zoom.com. And put in that meeting ID code 474-408-3826, and you're good to go.
Okay. All right. Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by. We may try to bring you back in one more time. Let's go on back to this story. Ms. Cross, let me bring you in. Then we're going to go to 772-607. We're going to ask all of the callers to stand by. Show is almost about over. We got about 25 minutes before we close out tonight's show. Ms. Cross, let's bring you back in here. And the fear of the unknown, I mean, here it is. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. With Ethel and Fred here, should Ethel, in your opinion, I mean, Cheryl even said, she said everybody deserves a second chance. But will she ever be able to really trust him, in your opinion? Do you think so? I mean, a man who's going out to do this here, and he just didn't do that part, but to turn it around, that's like pouring salt on somebody who has a serious open wound.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, I think that it's going to be extremely difficult for her to trust him because of the fact that, you know, aside from him cheating, he cheated and could have had a disease and brought it to her. Like, that's something that I feel like is, you know, you forgive for yourself, not for other people, but that would be hard for me to forgive because of the fact that you put me in harm's way. You know, it wasn't just about you cheating. That was wrong, but the fact that you cheated and you could have had something and brought it to me, you know, that's a whole nother level.
Right. So it would be hard for her to trust him, that's what you're saying, if she did try to give him a second chance.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I'm not saying that
All
it's
right.
not possible, but I think it
of
would
course.
Be hard.
I think so, too. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. We're going to go to 772-607 just before we do. We're going to, if you want to speak to tonight's issue or fear of the unknown, you want to contribute, make a thought or a comment, simply press 1 on your dial. We'll bring you in. We'll try to get to you. The show is almost over in about 20 minutes. Let's go to 772-607. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have? And welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Jesse. This is Tarina.
Tarina, thank you for
Can
joining
you hear
us.
Me?
Tarina, what
yes.
do you think about? What do you think about the fear of the unknown? Here, I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear the story tonight, but you know, this guy cheated on his wife, and now he's blaming her, and now she don't want to really have anything to do with him, but she still loves him. You know, the fear of the unknown. This man got a disease from another woman, and now you know his wife. I mean, things like that's not supposed to happen.
No, it's not. Unfortunately, it still does happen. And the thing that never ceases to amaze me is that it still happens with older people. People in their 40s, 50s, 60s are still playing the same silly yet dangerous games with other people. And I feel like I've always said that cheaters are cowards because the coward is fearful of the unknown. They're afraid of, you know, just telling the truth that I want to see other people. So, one, you want to have your cake and you want to eat it too. And, you know, the second thing is you're a coward because you're completely, I don't know if we could use, I'm not going to curse on your show, completely CYOA. You know,
uh-huh.
the CYOA,
right.
Covering your own,
we know
you
it.
Know what.
Right. And, right.
Yeah, and that's not. That's not fair to the other person because
right.
you want to lie to somebody to get what you want when there is a such thing as an open relationship. There are people who still engage in open relationships. So if that's what you want, then go for
right.
that and not hold someone else up, endanger someone else's life on top of it being irresponsible about it and not
Absolutely.
Protecting yourself.
Absolutely.
So I just
Absolutely.
I consider it total cowardice. And as far
Absolutely.
As trying to forgive him, that's not something that I could ever do because I bring things to the table day one.
Uh-huh.
Bring everything out on the table on day one. And if you're not willing to put all of your junk out on the table, then you're a liar from the start.
Oh, right.
Because withholding
okay.
the truth is also a lie.
That omission.
So that's,
Mr. Reed, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Also, I just want to put this commercial in. Ms. Cross, we're going to bring you in shortly, that if you are a business owner out there, if you're a business owner, we're giving you all an opportunity to come on the air every week if you'd like to promote your show. And then you can start advertising with us for as little as starting at $25 a month. We will, as long as you subscribe to our newsletter, which is $2.50 a week, that's cheaper than a cup of Starbucks coffee. That's $2.50 a week. And if you want more information, go to my website, drjessewalker.com or drjessewalker.com. Ms. Serena, just before you we go to my co-host,
yes.
let me ask you, you're a business owner. You want to go ahead and advertise if you're a business, what your business does and how they may contact you?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Actually, I am a yoga instructor, and I also do lifestyle consultations with women. And my website is www.PranaBreathOfLifeLLC.com.
Okay. All right. And I'm certain we'll be in touch with you. And my office number out there, you all, 954-367-6768. Ms. Croft, Ms. Serene, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Croft, let me bring you back in and ask you a few questions here. I mean, that fear of the unknown, I mean, it's kind of like Fred and Ethel. This is a hard one. This is really hard because I'm kind of with you. It's hard to trust him again. It might have been some possibility had he not said that last part to turn the tables to put it on her. Cheryl, we want to come to you as well, but let me go to Ms. Cross first. Ms. Cross, fear of the unknown. I like what we're going to do two part here. That part about Fred and Ethel, that trust part, and then the other, the COVID-19. I'm going so fast, 90 miles an hour, because they're rushing me because the show is almost over. Jack says that we shouldn't worry about these things. These are last day prophecy things, perhaps. I know that we had the Spanish flu in 1918, the bubonic plague. We've had NCN. We've had so many different things. But there's something different about this one here because it's almost like it's worldwide. Ms. Cross, go ahead. Those two factors.
Well, you know, we have to take into account that, the thing, media and social media is on, it's a different situation. So, you know, back in the days, we didn't really have technology the way that we have it now. So it's not that these plagues weren't, these illnesses didn't affect other countries. We just didn't know about it. So there's a lot of things that happen that we kind of didn't know. And, you know, when you don't, what you don't know can't hurt you. I think now it's so much more on a world stage because, this is the kind of the plague of our lifetime, you know. Like we said, there was different plagues in the past, so there's nothing new under the sun. That's what I always say. History always repeats itself. But this is kind of the plague of our lifetime, and, you know, it's just something that we kind of feel like we've evolved so much past something like this happening. But at the end of the day, you know, we're human, and God is in complete control. And I feel like things like this is kind of a wake-up call to us to let us know that, you know, we're just bare mortals on this earth, and at the end of the day, God is in complete control, and we need to recognize and understand who's our source, because everything is biblical, you know. So I feel like it's definitely a humbling moment, because this particular plague is, I'm going to call it a plague, is kind of, is touching everyone, you know, the old, the young, the rich, the poor. Nobody's immune. So I feel like it's a definite
wake-up call. Wow. Steve, let's bring you back in just for a moment. And, Steve, we got to ask this question here, the fear of the unknown. Ms. Cross just mentioned something. She said we didn't have technology back then like we do now. I'm hearing so many conspiracy theories across the universe that they're even saying that this thing might be even contributed or related to technology. Steve, have you ever heard of anything along those lines?
Yeah, 5G, there was a guy that got a video on it and sent it out in reference to 5G, and that's one of the things that the technology part of it, dealing with the computer, cell phone, and technical equipment. And, even it was on YouTube, and then YouTube actually took it off. YouTube took that 30-minute thing off. And then there's another one somebody sent me that didn't get taken off, but for YouTube to take it off, something must have been into that. I don't know if it's good or bad or what, indifferent, but that situation was is worth saying, what's going on here? There is a bigger picture, but what's going on here? Because, like you said, this is worldwide. This is touching everyone. No one's exempt.
Yeah. Wow. You know, they're telling us, giving the stay-at-home order. I don't know about other people, but it's hard for me. It's like I'm accustomed to taking a walk every day, and it's like you can't only walk around. You're living in an apartment, a small-sized apartment. I mean, how much can you pace up and down in that house looking at them walls? So Steve, what are you going to do if you got to stay at home?
Well, I do what I need to do. If I need to go to the grocery, I do. If I need to get some gas, but I'm not driving much, so gas, I'm saving money on getting gas. I go to the doctor if I need to. I even, in fact, go by a friend's house, stay on the outside of the house. He comes to the porch and we talk. But I do what I need to do, and I'll get in the car and run around and ride up and down the road for about 20, 30 minutes and come back. I'm not bored. I got a lot of books to read. You know, my wife told me I got a lot of books to read, so I'm good. I'm good. I'm having a great time, doing a whole lot more reading in the Bible and different other books.
All right. Let me bring Miss Serena in just for a second. Jack, stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Cheryl, we're going to come to you in a moment. And I want to throw this out there to you all. I know this might not touch on our subject tonight. This is part two, and we're bringing this portion to a close. Miss Serena, I want to ask you this here. Any advice? I know you say you deal with yoga classes and you do something for women. Let me ask you for maybe relationships, because that's what my show is all about, relationships. Spouses or people who are together, they got to see each other probably more now than they've been accustomed to. Any advice you would give these couples for seeing that they're going to see each other from the time they wake up in the morning to the time they go to bed at night, and that's for perhaps an extended period of time. Any advice, and I'm going to ask all of you all this here, how to keep it together.
Oh, that's a good one. It's going on in my household right now.
Okay.
So the beautiful thing is that I agree with what the brother just said. We are back to reading, because the more rushed your life is, actually, the less you sit down and relax. It seems crazy, but as things are rushed and we're go, 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 we're constantly doing anything, something, because that energy is still vibrating in us. And so we fell into this habit of sitting down and binge watching TV in the evenings. But now that things done slowed down, we've actually gotten back to our books, reading, research, getting back to these projects that we were half doing. So it's amazing. It took about a week or two, but now we're falling back into, wait a minute, what was it that I was planning on doing and that I kept, you know, procrastinating? So that's a wonderful thing to do. We all have projects that we have set to the side because life just gets too rushed. But now with this slowdown, we are taking the most of it.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm going to ask you to stand by just a second. Let's go back to Cheryl. Let's bring you back in here. And, Cheryl, we got to ask this question here. Give us your thought, just quickly here, a real quick thought on, Cheryl, how couples need to maybe keep it together with, like, I hear all that noise in your background. How are you all keeping it together?
Because I have kids in here and everybody. What I figured out is that we need to still give them structure, the kids.
Right.
Those that are here in my household, they go to a private school. So their mother had to go and pick up their books and other things today because the text or email was sent saying to come and pick up their things so that they can work from home. They have certain programs they work with, but they haven't set up anything except like one Zoom that they're supposed to have on the 9th or something. So that, you know, that bothers me. I want to say that, you know, because I'm a retired teacher. So I feel like when they're in a private school, it should be a whole different setup. And they have to learn how to reach out like the public school system. They have to have something in place. Because if something like this happens, you know, even if a student is sick and might be hospitalized or something, you know, you have to have ways to work things out. But then everybody has, there's actually 9 of us here in my house.
Wow. Hammered.
Because I'm at my mother's, so she doesn't feel well. And my niece is here with her kids. I've got 3 kids here. I mean, they're all adults, but it's just like it's a whole lot. And I do a lot of praying. My minister sends our prayers, and I'm Episcopalian, so we do a lot of noonday prayers, evening prayers. You know, I have to do it, or I am going to go bananas. Because, I mean, That's all you can do, really. Relax.
Okay.
When they all go to sleep, I can watch me a couple movies at night. You know, just.
But they wake
schedule
up.
Schedule is all messed up, but yeah. You know, so
right. That, well, let me just say this here, and then we got to move on. Let me just say this part real quickly. You know, you're being a former teacher. You did say that. You've been a former teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could perhaps put together a curriculum for everybody in the house, the nine people.
I need to. And I'm trying. I have two businesses I'm running. I'm,
okay.
You know, it's a lot going on. So.
All right. Quickly, we're going to give
I'm
you an opportunity.
I'm trying to do everything.
We're going to give you an opportunity to announce your business real quick and let them know how they can get in touch with you. We got about 9 minutes before to bring the show to a close, and I want to bring Jack back in to give us that information on the Zoom.com that he was talking about. But go ahead.
Oh, yes. I actually am into health and wellness products with a company by the name of Kava. Kava actually stands for art, like Noah's Ark.
Okay.
And I have a website, which is srgordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, T-A, V as in Victor, A, lifestyle.com. And then I also have a financial business where we do credit repair, wills and trusts. I mean, it's a whole line of everything that you need done, and that's through FES, F as in Frank, E as in Edward, S as in Sam. And my phone number is 786-973-3314. And I can kind of walk you through all of that before I take you to the other website. Thank you very
much.
All right.
All right, excellent, excellent. Jack, let's bring you in and get that information again on Zoom.com, and I think you gave a number out for a PIN number or a code, 474-408-3826. But go ahead, Jack, with anything else that you want the people to know.
Yes, Dad, it's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's immediately after your show. It's at 8 o'clock, and it's going to be on Zoom. The only difference is that you can Zoom in, but even if you Zoom in, you can still hit it where you don't have to be seen. Or you can call in, and then you won't be seen. A lot of people don't like to be seen sometimes. So, but the Zooming is just like being in a class. It's almost like a webinar. And it's pretty fun. We've done it before, and I think they're doing a lot of this now because they're practicing the social distancing and all of that. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be dealing with the last day events and where we are prophecy, and people are going to be giving their own testimonies and also praying at the same time. So we're looking,
Looking forward to that, too, and I believe I will be joining in. So you can be seen and not heard, you said, or you can be heard and not seen.
Well, you can be seen, and then when it's time for you mute your phone or mute your computer when you come in until you start speaking. Otherwise, you hear a lot of voices, something similar to what you have. But you mute your phone and come in. Then when it's time for you to speak, then you unmute your phone.
Oh, okay. And so
host,
I might want to do one of those. Go ahead. The host can do what?
No, the host can mute it too, just like you do.
Right. You know, so I might do one of those numbers where my teachers, several of them throughout the years, I don't know, I was a class clown, and they used to tell me, say, you need to be seen. I mean, heard and not seen. And I always try to figure that out. Why they didn't want me to be seen? Jack, what were they trying to tell me?
Well, you're probably talking too much, and you're probably clowning too much. There's always a class clown. You know, I've had class clowns in my class and all, and then you have to make an example out of them. Once you make an example out of the class bully and the class clown, then you shouldn't have any problems anymore. So you got to do something initially when you start your class, you know, give them layout, instructions and all, but do something kind of unusual, and the kids will get the message. That'll get the message across to the kids. That's always
what I use that gift I need to be heard or seen and not heard, one or the other, right? But I turned it into, because I was always talkative, so now I've had my talk show, which I love to do, so. You know, sometimes you got to take that, what you got, and turn it into something good. Absolutely. We're going to ask you to stand by. We got about, we got about 4 minutes and 80 seconds. They're threatening me over here now. We got these comments. Ms. Cross, we're going to give you the very first one. This email, she writes in, she says, you know, should we live our lives in fear of the unknown? No, I don't think we should live our lives in fear of the unknown, because what you don't know can't hurt you. Well, that's what they used to say. See, if you worry about it, it could take you out or drive you crazy. That's just how I see it. She says, what you don't know can't hurt you, but that's not all true, because what you don't know can kill you. I mean, look at Fred and Ethel. He had given her this, and it, even though this was curable, Ms. Paul, 15 seconds or less, you all, we got a number of them. We're going to try to get through them.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's good to be informed. You know, I don't want to be in the blind. I think it's good to be informed. I think it's just not good to be fixated on what's going on, because there's, like you said, there's so many conspiracy theories out there. You know, you'll be definitely fearful to touch anything if you kind of paid attention to everything that's going on. And with me, I work in a hospital setting. I still have to go to work. I'm so jealous of everyone who gets to work from home. I'm going to be honest. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I know that we have to help those that need help. So, you know, if I just, with me, I kind of take it on as, you know what, I'm just going to pray and put all my faith and trust in God. That's it.
All right. I appreciate that. And speaking of that, Ms. Cross, and we thank you for your services, that you putting yourself on the front line out there for the rest of us out here. And if you all, and if I just may encourage all of us, I was in Publix today, and I was in Walmart actually too, and I thank this worker for just being there. You know, he had on no mask, he had on some gloves working, and I just thanked him. So if you all are out there and about, of course, just thank somebody, because, you know, they're either out there because their duty requires that, or the people, and I'm talking about management level, and if they're not in management level, then they're workers that probably need that extra money to sustain their survival. So they're the superheroes right now, so you all might want to give them a shout out. Jack, we're going to come to you with this next comment. We're going to ask everybody 15 seconds left or less, because they are threatening me over here, and that's not a good sign. Here we go, comment number two. This male, he writes in, the way I see it is, why should we worry about something that we have absolutely no control over? I mean, things happen every day that's beyond our control, so what are we supposed to do, live in fear? I don't live my life that way, he says. Jack, your thoughts on that?
I can't live in fear, because I too would go crazy. If I'm fearful about something, I just wouldn't know how to react or how to respond. So he's right on point. He's right on point when he's saying that he can't live his life like that, and I can't live my life like that. So that's a message to the people out there, not to live your life in fear.
All right, let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 305-733. Is the caller there? 305-733. All right, must be 20 of them in that house, so there's a lot of noise there. So we'll have to come back to that one. They need to get with Cheryl, and they all need to put a curriculum together of some sort. All right, speaking of Steve, we're going to go to you. Steve, we're going to go to you. They're threatening me over here, say, less than a minute. Female, she says, as humans, I think the only thing we have is what we may be able to control ourselves, and sometimes that's not our own behaviors. But outside of forces that are beyond our human understanding and capacity, we have to trust the higher power, I call God, to see us through. We must do our very best and leave the rest up to him. That's just my opinion when it comes to should we live our lives in fear of the unknown. Steve, quickly, what do you think on that? That's right on point.
Yeah, she's on time with that. You can control yourself. God gave you free will to control yourself and leave everything else to God. You must be a believer. You must have faith, and you keep it moving, and God will take care of everything. It's a purpose for everything. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Thank you.
All right, see, we appreciate that. Tarina, we're going to give you this one here. This comment comes in, and this male, he writes in. He says, in reference to, should we live our lives in fear of the unknown? With all the conspiracy theories out there, unimaginable thinking, does it ever cause you to wonder who or what to believe, which sometimes makes it difficult and confusing? Has anyone ever experienced this, he wants to know? With all the conspiracy theories, we don't know who to believe or what to believe. Ms. Serena, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I never have that problem, because as most of us here, I believe in Source. I call him Source, Universe, Spirit. I believe in Source.
Right.
I follow the spirit of Source. And so whatever my heart, whatever that leads my heart to believe, then that is what I believe. And there is no fear, because fear is led through ignorance. And we are called to be well informed and then act accordingly.
All right. Brilliant, brilliant. Let's try to go to 305-733 once again. Is the caller there? 705-733? All right, perhaps not. We can't get to them. Again, that's at house. Let's go to Cheryl, and maybe Cheryl can give them some pointers on how to establish a curriculum.
Come
on. Sounds like yes. Cheryl, let's go to you.
And I have to laugh.
Cheryl, take this comment
mad.
While you're thinking about
yes.
a curriculum for that family, that household. Let me give you this email. She writes in, she says, I'm a single mom with three children, and I'm living in fear of the unknown, and that's the way I have always been, because it's really scary out here, she says. Yes, she says, I attend. Cheryl, you really got it going on in that house.
Yes.
She says, yes, I attend church. She says, yes, I attend church regularly, but I'm only human, and fear is part of that. Fear is a part of that. Is there anything else I can do besides pray and take safety precautions? Cheryl, what do you tell her? Establish a curriculum.
Be
well
informed.
Yes. But be well informed. Exactly. All she can do, really, is pray. But she's got to stop being so fearful. Or, to be honest, I feel like if your children see you living in fear, they live in fear.
That's a good point.
I don't like that. I like a child to have an open mind that they can do and be anything they want. And, I mean, I know people that are scared of all kind of bugs and everything, and their children are just like them. So,
yeah.
You know, that's my take on that. But prayer is the answer, and you've got to be confident in knowing, you know, that everything will be fine. That's always my
right.
answer. Everything will be fine. You've got to be comfortable. Either you stress or you pray. It's, you know, plain and simple,
yeah.
black and white for me.
Amen to that. You know, it's interesting that you say this here, and I got to throw this in a little commercial. Ms. Cross, we're going to let you have the final word and close this out. But it's interesting what you say, that if you live in fear, your children will grow up living in fear. I can do snakes, but I can't do lizards. And my kids today, all four of them, they don't do lizards. So
see?
I don't know what it is.
See?
But I used to do bad things to lizards when I was a kid, and that's now it's haunting me. So it's just, you know, life is good that we grow up. It's good that we grow up. I think I've covered most of the folks that are on here. We're going to take one more. Actually, we're going to take these last two, and Ms. Crosley is going to ask you. I'll take one, and then you can take the last one. The comments come in. She says, this male, he says, well, the way I see it is that I believe in science. He says he believes in science. And what could be proven? Not necessarily something about a higher power, because if that was the case, why are we going through so much devastation and evil around the world? In fact, you know what? I'm going to skip over science, I mean, because I do believe in a higher power. But, Jack, I'm going to give this one to you. You sound like a preacher out there, too. Well, the way I see it, he believes in science, and he says that not necessarily something about a higher power, because if that was the case, why are we going through such devastation around the world, evil around the world? Jack, what are your thoughts on that? And then Ms. Cross will give you the last one.
Well, there's a higher power out there, and that higher power is none other than God. And God is in control of the universe, but he allows certain things to happen. I think about the three Hebrew boys who had to go through the fiery furnace, and Daniel in the lion's den. But even though they had to go through that, God was there with them as they went through it. So it's the same thing with us. Even though he's allowed this coronavirus to go through, he's still going to be with us as we go through it all. So, yes, there is a higher power out there, and we must trust him in everything that we do.
Okay, that's interesting that you say that, Jack. And I always look at it this way, and I'm responding to that comment that came in as well. I don't know any human that looks like me or in my form that could have put a sun 93 million miles away from us and keeps us from scorching. I don't know anybody that could have put a moon out there 240,000 miles away from us and still give us light around the world. I don't know anybody that could cause atmosphere or the sphere of us being able to breathe on this planet pretty much alone. So it's got to be something greater than anything that looks or walks or talks like we do. So, you know, with that said, I got to pass it on to give Camilla the last word, Ms. Cross, the last word, because we're clearly out of time. Ms. Cross, this last comment, and if you can do it and wrap us up and then just take us on home. He said, this female, she says, I must say, I'm a single mom with three children, and I am living in fear of the unknown. That's why it's been the way that it's been, and it's really scary out there. I want to go back to that one because she's really scared out there. And she says she's doing everything that she could to pray, but she's also, the human part of her is fearful. What words could you close us out with her as well? And then close us out.
Well, I want to say that, you know, to the caller, that, you know, I can't tell her not to be concerned about what's going on in the world, because to sit here and watch that thousands of people are dying, you know, automatically, you know, the emotions that we feel are here to protect us. But the whole thing is just to understand that it's for her to just take the precautions, for her to, you know, I don't know if she's spiritual, but for her to trust in God and understand that this is all just a part of prophecy kind of being fulfilled. You know, this is not, like I was saying, there's nothing really brand new in what we're going through. It's hard because we're living in it. We're not reading about it. We're, you know, back in the day when we were younger, we were talking about the end of the day and the things that can happen. And it seemed so far off that it was like that we would never go through that. But that's kind of what we're going through now. So it's just for her to understand that, you know, instead of being so fearful, just continue to build her relationship with God and just work on her connection with him, you know, so.
All right. Okay, on that note, Jack, did we bring you back in to give the Zoom information? We did?
Yeah, you did. You did.
Okay, good. Listen, on that note, we're clearly out of time, you all. Stay safe, and please, once again, I encourage all of you all, if you do go out for the essentials and so forth, if you run across anybody that's a worker out there, you know, say a kind word to them, because people are panicking in situations out there today, and one lady was fussing the cashier out in Walmart instead of thanking her for coming to work. So give them an encouraging word. Listen, we're out of time. Thank all of you all for joining us. We certainly hope that Miss Michelle goes ahead and establish that curriculum, because that's all the noise in her background that we're
hearing. No, that is not my background.
Yes. But we appreciate you being on the floor. I mean, on the show. We do appreciate that. Listen, we're out of time. Join us here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational program, which is extended to an hour. We're going to have a night of testimonies. People are going to be calling in and telling you how they have overcome. So we encourage you all to listen. Same number, same time. And until tomorrow night or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.